We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
On Sports Radio 610, here's Clint Sterner and the show.
It's the Search Update.
That's right, the Search Update. We do it at the top of each and every hour. And Clint, this is from Ian Rappaport. This is the schedule for the Texans and their head coaching interviews. The Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier will have his second interview tomorrow on Tuesday. And then the Ravens assistant head coach and passing game coordinator David Culley will have his second interview on Wednesday. This is a continuation of the process, as Jim Caldwell has already met with the Texans for two interviews. So that is the update. Tomorrow will be Leslie Frazier for his second, and then David Culley on Wednesday. I think a lot of people look at Leslie Frazier as potentially the leader right now, but that's what's coming up for the Texans.
I'm not gonna remove Eric Bieniemy from my leader role until the Texans prove to me that's not the case. I do like the fact, show that you know, they space these interviews out and they don't appear to be getting in a hurry. I don't think they should get in a hurry. I think interviewing these guys twice is important. I think interviewing Eric Bieniemy twice and via Zoom until he gets to a point where he's not competing for a Super Bowl, and then you can interview him face-to-face, and then you make a decision. So I'm sticking to my guns. I hope the Texans draw this thing out for another 2 weeks so that they got a legit shot to at least do their due diligence with every candidate, which would end with Eric Bieniemy, and then make the decision and we go from there. Look, I think you got two guys at the top of the list. I think you got Leslie Frazier at the top of the list, and I think you got Eric Bieniemy at the top of the list. And I think you got one guy on one end of the spectrum, and I think you got one guy on the total opposite end of the spectrum. Eric Bieniemy's the guy that's going to walk in and tell them what he's going to do to win ball games. He's not going to ask for their input. He's not going to ask for suggestions. He's not going to ask how they would recommend doing things. And then you got Leslie Frazier to me is a hire that's a defensive-minded head coach. The biggest problem in Houston, the defense, would lay at the feet of the head coach. And then that would also allow Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair to hand select or at least manipulate the what they do on the offensive side of the football. Does that mean David Culley, who is assistant head coach with the Ravens, has been in the Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs organization?
Both under Andy Reid. Yeah.
So he's an offensive minded guy under Andy Reid, is it interviewing guys right now to help build an offensive staff, and does this front office want to have say so in how they do that and what they do? I think Leslie Frazier is a candidate to me that gives them the opportunity to do that, gives them more leeway to do that. Open door policy, where Eric Bieniemy, I think he slams the door shut.
See, I understand what you say. You don't mind them taking their time with it because they're the only vacancy open. And I'm all right if, hey, they don't do nothing for 2 weeks because Eric Bieniemy is the guy and they can't do nothing for a couple of weeks with him. I'm okay with it. There's nothing that bothers you at all that, I don't know if bothers is too strong of a term, but nothing that gets to you a little bit that's like, you all fired Bill O'Brien in week four, and you still, because I'm not thinking that they are waiting because they know who the guy is, and they're just waiting on the guy. I think they still don't know who they're going to hire. I still don't know. I still don't think they know who the guy is.
Well, I hope they don't know who the guy is. I hope they need to get face to face with Eric Bieniemy before they make that decision. So, no, it does not bother me at all that they were the first to fire and the last to hire.
They don't know who they were.
That does the way this thing's unfolded. It doesn't bother me at all. The fact that they appear to not know who they want right now doesn't bother me at all. The fact that they're interviewing guys from several different backgrounds, so to speak, that doesn't bother me at all. I think they've got to be. You've got to take your guys. Like if they know who their number two and number three candidates are right now, they'd be fools to not be going, all right, y'all are in the mix. Start putting your coaching staff together. What's your coaching staff going to look like? I mean, there should be some work being done behind the scenes for all of these candidates at this point because they're all getting second interviews. They should all be putting a staff together to where if they are hired, the organization at least knows what direction they're going to go in.
All right, that's the latest on the update, the search update, as we continue to let you know at the top of each hour the latest on the Texans coaching search.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire, presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
All right, Clint, we had Danan Hughes on earlier today. Danan Hughes is the lead analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network. And he was on with us. If you missed it, go ahead and hit that radio.com app and listen around 2:45. He was fantastic. But he went on in Kansas City earlier today, and he had words about who he thinks may be the next coach of the Houston Texans.
I think, well, you know, there's a reason why the Houston job is still lingering, and I kind of feel like even though there was words out about Leslie Frazier versus Eric Bieniemy, I kind of feel like there'll be an announcement that EB will be getting that job. And been talking to some people and kind of think that that's on the horizon. So, yeah, I think it'll be extra great news, overdue. Be definitely a tough loss, but a justified loss, well overdue.
Show, I wish I'd have dug a little deeper on that, been talking to some people. I wish I'd have asked, who you been talking to, man? What I mean, we just talking about just – basically a little hearsay here or there, or have you talked to somebody in the know? Like what's the? I wish I'd have dug a little bit on that.
I don't want to, like, if I'm a Texans fan, I listen to that. You just don't know what they're going to do. To me, when I hear that, you know, when he's somebody who's played in the league, who has connections, sure, in the league. If I'm a Texans fan, that would get me excited, but you're dealing with the Texans and you never know. I at least hear that at Clinton and think there's no way they can hire a guy without talking to him again.
I agree. I think that's the best way to go about your business. Look, and I'm not mad that the Texans don't know who they're going to hire right now. I mean, you know, we talked about it a little earlier. I don't need them based off of one Zoom interview. Now this week, I believe they can Zoom interview one more time with Eric Bieniemy.
It would have been enough for me.
Like I don't think. I mean, well, look, it'd be. I mean, to each their own. I'm just saying, I'm not disappointed that it's not enough for them. I'm going to be disappointed if they decide to go another direction based off of that.
And they never,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised that, hey, look, two quick Zoom interviews isn't enough to decide on a man. Let's wait and get face to face with him down the road. That doesn't bother me. It's not good, bad, or indifferent for me in a sense of them not knowing who they're going after yet.
Yeah, he sounded pretty confident with that.
Sounded confident, yeah. Sounded like he talked to some people.
I want to know who he's talked to as well.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Super Bowl is set, Clint. The Buccaneers and the Chiefs, they win on Championship Sunday yesterday, and I still can't get over it. I told you Friday, I think I'd be more surprised if Tampa went in to Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, just because I thought Aaron Rodgers was playing at a crazy high level, the number one offense. They seemed to be clicking, and they had it running. I know you said you thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. And to think that Tom Brady would go in and give them three interceptions, and they would still lose, three in the second half.
Yeah, man.
And they would still lose at home was shocking almost to me.
Yeah, it was. Look, I picked Green Bay to be in the Super Bowl, and that was a hell of an NFC Championship game. And I'm with you, man. I can believe that Tampa. In fact, to the point where I didn't bet against them, I could believe where Tampa could win that ball game. But if you'd have told me Tom Brady goes in there and throws three picks, I'd have said it'll be a double-digit win for Green Bay.
And so, some bad ones, too.
Yeah, and look, the story of that game right there is the decision of Coach Matt LaFleur at the very end of the game. Down eight, it's fourth and goal from the 8-yard line. He's down eight, and he decides to kick the field goal with 2:06, I think, was left on the clock. He had all three timeouts, but he chose to kick the field goal and kick the ball to Tom Brady and try to force a three and out to have a chance to get the ball back and then have a chance to score a touchdown to win the ball game. I think the thing about this to me, Show, is I've been saying this from the jump. Bill O'Brien was so bad at game management that we had a million conversations about game management. And I would always, guys, it ain't as easy as you think it is. It's not as easy. There's really good coaches make game management mistakes all the time. Matt LaFleur, I think, made a big time mistake by not going for it on fourth down right there. And then applying the same tactics that he did after the field goal. If you don't get it on fourth down, you turn around, you got Tampa backed up. Now you stop them three and out, and you got another chance to go down, score a touchdown, a two-point conversion to tie it. I think this is a big-time mistake by Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, it was. How about this working out for Tampa? This offseason.
Come on, man.
Tom Brady. I mean, he's like LeBron, right? You got to look at that. I know it wasn't all just him, but I think the culture that Deshaun has talked about, how he changed how this team operates and thinks. They're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, we're getting to watch greatness, man. I mean, it's wild, no doubt.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, you ought to love this one. Baltimore Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta said Monday that the team could strike a long-term contract extension with quarterback Lamar Jackson this offseason. He will speak with the reigning NFL MVP within the next 10 days. The thought is Jackson would likely command $40 million per season. Oof. On an extension with the Ravens.
Can't do it. Show. I love him. Know. I love him, but I would hate to be in their position.
I'm with you. Like, to me, my mind doesn't say to do it. But what do you do? Well, I mean, what are you, just franchising?
I got to let him play. No, I mean, he's got at least 2 years left on his contract. I mean, these guys don't have to up. They don't have to re-up on these quarterbacks the way the Texans did with Deshaun Watson. I would do it with Deshaun. I would do it with Pat Mahomes. I would do it with guys that, hey, man, I'm convinced this is my ticket. I've found the guy. This is my ticket to a Super Bowl. I just don't know that I would do it and get a year ahead of myself with a guy that I feel pretty good about, but there's clearly some issues in Baltimore. Hell, I feel better right now today about Josh Allen and his future in terms of being able to make a run and duplicate what he did this year than I feel that Lamar Jackson's going to be able to be relevant in the playoffs consistently and make playoff runs.
Can I say this? This is going to sound crazy. Like, to me, the concern is, all right, even if Lamar replicated his MVP season, I still don't. Like, off of his MVP season, would I say, man, that's who I want for the next 8 to 10 years?
Yeah.
No.
But then
you'd really be stuck because you got to do it now. And now for a lot more because you didn't get it done.
He's got to play one more for me, man. I'm gonna take his fifth-year option so that I got him for at least 5 years. He's going to play year four, and then we'll negotiate after year four. I can't – right now where he sits, I can't give him $40 million a year right now. No, sir, no way.
All right, let me try this, Houston. Let me see if this sounds better to you. The next head coach – of the Houston Texans, your backup quarterback, Josh McCown.
Hold on, Joe.
Did that sound better than it did Friday? We'll discuss coming up.
On Sports Radio 610, here's Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, I hit you with it when you hear that. Do you feel better? Do you feel better? Over the weekend, we had a lot of people in both ways, crushing the idea that you would interview Josh McCown and then really defending Josh McCown and saying, no, it's not as far-fetched or preposterous as many people thought when they first heard it, that Josh McCown coming right off the field, well, hell, he didn't even play. Maybe he dressed once or twice. He was the backup quarterback and then becoming a head coaching candidate or an at least get an interview for it. Now that you've had the weekend, Clint, when you hear this, when you hear this about Josh McCown, you hear it listening to people try to vouch for him. Do you feel at all differently about the fact that it's not crazy that he would get an interview to be a head coach in the National Football League?
No, it's crazy. It's still crazy. It's bat crazy. You know what I'm talking about?
Bat-ish.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's no question about it. It's crazy. And look, it's as hard to wrap my mind around why the Texans would even put this message out. Like, what's the point? And not be aware of the pushback from the media and from the national media. He's under contract. You could have walked downstairs and just had a meeting with the guy and figured out, you know, what he thought about coaches in the game and what he thought about playing or becoming a coach on the staff somewhere. You could have done all those things without putting out a tweet and publicly announcing that you were interviewing or discussing or meeting with Josh McCown about the coach vacancy. I love the thought of flipping stones and gathering information. I just don't understand the total lack of awareness of what that kind of announcement, that kind of tweet, you know, what kind of pushback that would get. And I don't, it would be worth it if I thought there was a chance in hell. Like if there was a snowball's chance in hell, which don't have much of a chance. So if there was, what do they call it? If you had a puncher's chance, if there was a chance you could land a knockout blow and win in some way, shape, or form, and Josh McCown was a legitimate candidate, and this had just the slightest of possibility, I would even be able to come to grips with it. I just think it's – I don't think at all the Houston Texans are considering him for a head coach or an offensive coordinator job.
I remember the look on your face. You just stared me down like you're making this up.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke. I literally thought it was a joke. I'm not going to lie to you. I pulled my phone out and pulled up Houston Texans Twitter and checked the address to make sure that you didn't get got.
I know you
to
did.
To make sure that somebody didn't catch you with the old fake account.
Nope, I checked it too. I said, they've got all those followers.
Yeah, that's them. That's them suckers.
That's them. Yeah, because your face said no, there's nothing.
Nah, ain't no chance. There's no chance. This is silly. The thought that, again, I think it's crazy that we're sitting here having a conversation about possibly hiring Leslie Frazier over Eric Bieniemy. It's damn sure a shame that we're sitting here having a Josh McCown conversation when Eric Bieniemy's hanging out there. Now, I do think that he has a very strong resume to get into coaching.
To get into coaching.
Right, yeah. Right. I do. I think he has a very good resume to get into coaching. And I wouldn't be surprised if he leaped over the quarterback position and was able to take a coordinator position with a team that he was very familiar with the offense, very familiar with the head coach, the play caller, the previous play caller, very familiar with everything that was going on, and it was a smooth transition. The fact of the matter, that's not what this is. You're going to have to hire an offensive coordinator, or maybe your head coach is offensive-minded, and they're going to have to install an offense. They're going to have to start from the very scratch and install an offense. I mean, terminology totally different. Everything. And then you can only go at the pace that the team allows you to go at. If they're not retaining things, there's no reason to pour more on them and continue to install and them not retain. And so there's just a big difference in, like, let's say what Kellen Moore in Dallas did.
Because he's one that
went from a player to a quarterback coach to an offensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator that he was under when he became the coordinator, they kept a lot of the same terminology. They didn't change. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot of change. And he just started calling plays. And that's a tough-ass transition. That's tough, right? But he did it in a way of where the system around – nothing needed to be installed, right? If he wanted to tweak something, sure, you install that. But nothing needed to be installed. All the pieces were in place. Everybody was familiar with the terminology. That in itself is very difficult, but I can see where it works. This, what's going on in Houston right now, and you're going to make your third-string quarterback your OC possibly, and possibly your head coach? Yeah, let me get the hell out of here.
Because, see, that's what my thought is, as we're talking about. Do you feel better now that you've had the weekend with Josh McCown as a head coaching candidate? Like, I don't even think he's – it's not even thinking. By the way the NFL has hired coaches, coordinators, head coaches. He's just not qualified whatsoever to be a offensive coordinator or a head coach. Yeah. Just not quite. I mean, he's not coached a lick, right?
Well, and I don't buy the one guy in the NFL right now that is just so smart and so well versed in these different offenses, and he's such a great leader. He's the one guy in the NFL that you could see making that jump. I think Josh McCown is special. I do. I think he's got a chance to be a really good coach in this league. But to think like there's not other players in the NFL that are as qualified and have all the same qualifications and strengths and that Josh McCown has, I think it's inaccurate. I think there's players in this league. There's more players in this league than people think that are unbelievably sharp in terms of offensive or defensive football. Unbelievably sharp. Unbelievable leaders of men. And they don't go when they're under contract as a backup late in their career. They don't go, well, hell, let me interview for this head coach job. I just to think that in to some way, shape, or form, try to piece together justification of Josh McCown being interviewed. To try to make this anything more than Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby were looking for information on other head coaches or his interest in being a quarterback coach, I think is crazy. I just think it's crazy. I think it's a mistake.
As we're talking about Josh McCown, do you feel better? Because the only thing better about him now, as the weekend has passed, about a coaching candidate, see, the only thing that I see on his resume is he played for 17 years, mostly as a backup. And I feel like it's even a slap in the face to Tim Kelly to think just because he sat in meetings for 17 years that all of the responsibilities that an offensive coordinator has through the week, everything, that you don't need to at least be a quarterback's coach or to sit back and to understand what that is. Like to just think, yep, he sat there. He's been a player in these meetings. So yep, we know that he's even ready to be a coordinator. That's just a slap in the face. There is a lot of stuff that they do, that coordinators do, that you don't just walk in and just take that job. Hence, we've never seen it. Like you said, Kellen Moore. At least Kellen Moore, who was injured and probably like a coach anyway when he was injured and out, went to be a quarterback's coach to at least learn it and everything. I just feel like it's just so disrespectful to think. I mean, I was just sitting there thinking, do people know what offensive coordinators have to do every day and have to do all year long? It's not just Clint, you played, what, five years? You just jump in and be an offensive coordinator?
No, hell no, you don't. You don't do that in a perfect scenario. I mean, you know, you can – my experience in Miami was an absolute cluster. Hell, they had guys experienced, 50-year-old guys that had been in the league forever, and they couldn't get their mess together and figure out who was going to be the offensive coordinator, who's going to be the passing game coordinator, who's going to run game coordinator. I mean, they couldn't figure it out. And so to think that – and look, I'm not saying that it couldn't be done. I'm not saying that there couldn't be a guy out there that is given a shot and he end up having success. I'm just sitting here saying a third-string quarterback in Josh McCown – does not bring enough to the table for me to confidently go, yep, head coach or offensive coordinator for a team that's in dysfunction and just in a state of dysfunction. That's crazy to think that there's a guy out there right now that's like let's say perfect example. Let's say right now that Josh McCown has a great relationship with Carson Wentz. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. Go be the OC. I could get behind that. All the guys know him. It would be a plug and play. Now they've already hired, you know, new head coach and hired elsewhere. But I'm saying if they wanted,
Doug Peterson thought about doing that.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? If they wanted, I could see that working with guys he knows, similar terminology, really familiar with all the terminology, has played in the system, so he knows it like the back of his hand. I could probably get down with that. Knows the head coach like, you know, him and the head coach are like this, knows all the current coaching staff, all the installs already done. There's already a schedule in place of how you go about your business throughout the week and how you get through a week of practice, how you game plan, He could lean on Doug Peterson to get game plans. I could see that. That ain't what this is. The terminology needs to change. There needs to be a whole install over a really starting as soon as the guy gets hired. There needs to be a whole install, and that guy needs to be in the meeting with Deshaun Watson and know the offense like the back of his hand. I don't know that Josh McCown is ready for that.
Clint probably had the best thought in terms of why Eric Bieniemy may not be the right coach for the Houston Texans, at least according to the Houston Texans. You don't want to miss that, and I can't wait to hear how you respond to it. That's next.
On Sports Radio 610 with Clint Sterner and the show.
Whoa! Oh, God, snuck in a little bit there. She turned around and looked at me and said, what the hell's going on? Clint Sterner and the show here with you on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. 713-572-4610. I see Nasty Jim's ass on there. Of course he is. Clint, you brought it up, man. This was I thought, a really good thought in the thought process of, all right, when we look at what Eric Bieniemy's struggles have been, which have been something people have said, is he doesn't interview well. And I don't know that it's necessarily, or we think it's necessarily, that he's just a bad interviewer. It is potentially his style. And his style is right in your face, very probably Mike Tomlin-like.
Yeah.
Very much Bill Parcells-like, very much in the terms of he's more of the, hey, this is my plan, and he's ready to really present his plan and what it is that he wants to do, as opposed to maybe, you know, hey, what do you think? And when you combine his style and then who he would be sitting in front of, Kyle McNair and Jack Easterby, and what we've learned of them and how they take things, there may be a clash right there.
Yeah, there very easily could be a clash. Look, I mean, you're talking about a guy that I think the term he's a bad interview or interviewer, you know, I don't know how much I buy into that. Now, I do buy into the fact that wealthy individuals that have had a lot of success in their life, I don't know how many of them are real open to being told what somebody's going to do with their business, what somebody's going to do with their players, and not that individual telling them what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and who they're going to hire, and never stopping and going, well, what do you think? Well, what would you recommend? How have you had success here in the past? How would you recommend that I move forward with this particular locker room? Those are things that I think wealthy individuals could very easily be turned off by. Mm-hmm. The guy that doesn't ask for their input.
Even in sports?
Even more so in sports. Yeah. Like I think there's some validity to the fact that Eric Bieniemy could very easily rub an owner wrong because he sits down and goes, here's who I'm going to hire. Here's what my plan is to win ball games. And here's how I'm going to go about it. And I would think that he's a guy that would close the conversation and be very blunt about what's going on in Houston.
Oh, you think he'd tell them about themselves?
I think there's some problems in Houston and that everybody's aware of, and I think he would have no problem saying, hey, there's clearly some issues in Houston that we got to get cleaned
up.
He's
the type of guy that, you know, in interviews where they practice, hey, what are some bad things here? What are some things that you've looked at our organization and thought are negatives? You know how people come up with good negatives.
Yeah,
you work too hard. No, Eric's gonna come in here and tell you, man, y'all got too many people meddling.
Yeah,
y'all got too many.
No, that's no question.
In here and tell him the truth. Where Leslie Frazier may come up with some good negatives. You know, I think you guys just maybe want it too hard.
Yeah,
want it too much.
Look, it's very simple for me to see, and it's not hard. It's not I'm not disputing that there's been some times where the minority hire is an issue for an owner. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Eric Bieniemy's been through 15 to 17 interviews and not got the head coach, and every time it's been that issue. I think there's a good chance that that owners and wealthy individuals just don't like being told what someone's going to do and never being asked what they recommend, never being asked how they could be involved. And when I look at Eric Bieniemy, as I've said many a times, Eric Bieniemy is the guy that's going to, he's going to take the job. He's going to lock arms with the players. He's going to make sure Four's in the boat. He's going to tell the front office to stay out of his locker room, stay off his practice field, and stay off his sidelines, and he's going to go try to win ball games. And I could see where that approach could rub owners wrong, could rub wealthy individuals wrong, and I damn sure, knowing Cal and covering the Texans, I could see where that would rub Cal McNair wrong. That could intimidate Cal McNair. I see where that in itself would, I don't know if intimidate's the right word, but it would definitely contradict with what Jack Easterby hopes to be able to do in this organization. I think Jack Easterby hears that, and he hears less involvement on his part with the players
and, we know he
and with the coaching
that.
Staff. And you know that naturally he wants to be on the field. And so all of those things, whether it's rubbing Cal McNair wrong or rubbing Jack Easterby wrong, I could see where Eric Bieniemy in an interview setting could turn those guys off. Now, I don't like it. I think it's dead ass wrong. If I were in their shoes, that's exactly who I would want to hire. I would want that guy to come in and go, you're hiring me. You're fixing to pay me a boatload of money. Get out of the way and let me do my job. And if I don't do my job, then fire me. Get rid of me. Okay? But don't be a problem the whole time that I'm here. Let me do X, Y, and Z. I'm laying my plan out for you. And I'm giving you the blueprint of how I'm gonna have success, how I've had success in the past, and how I'm going to have success here. I'm going to dig you out of this state of dysfunction, and I'm going to take you to the mountaintop. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's who I'm going to do it with. Right?
Yeah.
To me, hey, somebody get this cat a pen. I need this ink to get dry real quick before anybody else talks to him. Right? But I could see where Cal McNair and Jack Easterby would look at it totally different. I could see where a lot of owners around the league would look at it totally different.
Now, I will say this. I do think Eric Bieniemy is not the only coach that has that approach. I think Urban Meyer probably had that approach with Jacksonville. I think Dan Campbell probably had that approach
no
with
question.
Them.
I think Dan Campbell, I know it's not real popular right now, Dan Campbell and Eric Bieniemy are cut from the same cloth.
And probably the way they approach things.
No question.
Now, I will say this. I think there are some owners in the league that get a different feel when Eric comes in and does it as opposed to those guys. I'm not sure that I think that happens here. I think maybe there's a little bit of that where he makes them feel a little uncomfortable when he goes his way, but I think it is more Jack Easterby is losing power and is losing the ability to impact things. And I think it is more of a, boy, those two want to be able to impact, to come up and have some conversations on maybe some moves on, because I could see Eric saying these are the type of players that we need to be looking at in the draft that really fits what it is that I want to do. And I wonder how thrilled a Jack Easterby, Cal McNair, Nick Caserio would be about that.
Well, I think you wouldn't know until you get into it, right? Until after you hire him. That's why I think that he would scare them. He could potentially scare them away, because Jack Easterby wants to meddle in things across the board. And he's got a relationship with Nick Caserio and Cal McNair that he's going to do those things unless the head coach that's hired literally puts his foot down. So why would he hire a coach that would put his foot down? I would think that if he's going to influence the decision, he's going to influence in a direction more of like a Leslie Frazier, a guy that, in my opinion, that he would be hired because Jack Easterby would have more input into what they do offensively, right? Into how they dig out of this hole, into the type of players that they bring in. Now, I don't know that Nick Caserio is not going to nip that in the bud and keep Jack out of it. You hope that's what happens. But I've yet to see a decision made by the Houston Texans that was made to keep Jack Easterby at bay and keep him in his role. Every decision at this point has given him more power. So it's up to Nick Caserio. Does Nick Caserio hire the best guy for the job? Does Nick Caserio want the best guy for the job that's going to come in and tell him exactly how it's going to be done? And if he doesn't get it done, then he can fire him. Or is he going to want a guy that is older, at the end of the rope, just wants another chance to be a head coach, And you know what? It's open door policy, man. Jack, come on in. Nick, come on in. Hey, Cal, come on in. It's open door policy all the time in the locker room, on the sidelines, on the practice field. Let's just all get along. Let's all serve each other, right? Let's all be one happy family. What do you want? You know, what do you want? Do you want a coach that's going to separate the two, or do you want a coach that's going to open the doors and allow everybody to be involved? I think the Texans need the guy that's going to shut the door and keep the noise out.
I think there is something to the thought of I that the Texans are looking for a person to fit the mold, and that mold may be how much influence beyond the coaching staff, beyond Nick Caserio, can be had in the organization. And like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in the interview or in some sort of process, it gets around to Jack and it's, hey, do you have any issues with me, you know, with my role with the players, my role being on the field? I could see that, not saying it does happen, but I could see that be a part of it. And maybe somebody like an Eric Bieniemy is not as keen on having to deal with that, than a David Culley or a Leslie Frazier, which gets back to the point of, is winning the number one priority?
And that's all that Deshaun Watson cares about, right? That ultimately, that's what Deshaun Watson cares about. Look, show that there's no question about it, and this is what scares me in this situation, that the more Jack Easterby's involved in this decision, the more unlikely it is they end up with Eric Bieniemy as the head coach.
Yes, I think to me, I'm to this point, Clint, and you tell me if it's too strong. Houston, you tell me it's too strong. I think if you don't hire Eric Bieniemy at this point, then it is hard for me to think that winning is your number one priority. It is hard for me to look at the Texans and say, they said the number one thing that we want to do is to win, and winning is our top priority, so we made this decision. If you don't go with Eric Bieniemy, then it couldn't have been just because winning. There has to be something else to me that drove you to that decision at this point, because it's just obvious.
It's blatantly obvious. There's Eric Bieniemy is the right hire, hands down, in this situation.
Way.
He's the best fit for the problems that exist in Houston. He's the only chance you have of fixing your relationship with your quarterback. And look, I don't care if you're of the group that thinks, okay, play hardball with him and he'll eventually cave and come play. If you think playing with a disgruntled quarterback that doesn't want to be here, that doesn't trust management, if you think that's the way to a championship, either way it goes. I don't care where you lie on that. Either way it goes, there's no question about it that Eric Bieniemy is the best fit in Houston. You look at how this football team's going to have to win games moving forward. It is being unbelievably explosive on offense. You look at what they need to fix first, the defense. I would rather hire a defensive coordinator and say, you got one job. I'm going to give you 2 years to do it. Fix the defense. Yes. You ain't got no distractions. You ain't got to be a head coach. You got one job. Fix the defense. Go do it. And if you don't, then I'm going to go a different direction. It just makes way too much sense to hire Eric Bieniemy for this organization. The problem is, the one guy's fingerprints that are all over every decision that's been made in this organization, Jack Easterby, I believe that going a different route for him than Eric Bieniemy allows him to do what he wants to do, and that's be involved in everything. If Eric Bieniemy's here, that's going to be a struggle. He may still try, but that's going to be a struggle, and Eric Bieniemy's going to be hell to deal with for Jack Easterby.
Yeah. And someone just texted in, winning has never been a top priority for the McNair family. I'm not going to be one that just says that, right? I wouldn't say that before this point. And I can understand there's some things that have happened that made you wonder. I think they were trying. I think maybe there were just some issues. This one here, there's not another sign that can be given to you that Eric Bieniemy is the choice. Not another one. There's nothing else that can be done to show it to you. Is perfectly the guy you have, the offense they run, everything, it's perfect for you. If he's not the guy, there is nothing you can sit and explain. Leslie Frazier, yep, over Eric Bieniemy. David Culley.
Yep.
Over Eric Bieniemy. Jim Caldwell.
Yep.
Over Eric Bieniemy. Even if you trade Deshaun, who's doing a rebuild with a 63-year-old or a 65-year-old or a 66-year-old? He's doing a rebuild with a guy that old. Like, there's no, in no form or fashion does it prove that. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Sports Radio 610. Here, I want to go out to you on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Lou, go ahead. What's your thoughts, Lou?
You know, I work for a lot of very wealthy men, and those kind of men put strong people on their team to make their team stronger. Jack Easterby, I like to refer to him as Eddie Haskell. He's that guy who says what the mom or the boss wants to hear. And, you know, he has manipulated Cal McNair into making some foolish decisions that Bob McNair didn't work so hard to bring a team back to Texas or to Houston to do. I think if I was a McNair, I'd be really concerned about Cal's mental capacity if this is how he's going to run this team. If they want to sell it, sell it. But quit making stupid decisions that affect Hall of Fame caliber people and players that affect their careers and their mentality and the people who spend the money to sit in your seats and watch those players. Don't treat us like monkeys. We need to know that you do want to win. And what I see and what I hear, you don't want to win. He needs to go start a church organization or something and let Jack Easterby be his leader. Maybe he's really great at that. But last time I checked, that's not what these players signed up to be. They signed up to be football players. And I just really worried about the stability of the Texans and their ability to maintain a fan base.
Hey, Lou.
Making
hey,
these kind of decisions.
Lou, you feel better getting this off your chest? I feel like you needed to.
No, I'm exhausted. You know, it's like, shit, somebody.
Oh, Lou! Come on!
I knew she was a firecracker, too, man.
Man!
Woo. We almost good. Made it the whole way.
Call back, Lou.
Great call,
come
Lou.
Come on, man. What passion. Man. Wow.
She made a great point about it, and I should probably clarify that. There's no doubt. Like, I've been around a bunch of wealthy individuals in my time. The really good ones that last and are really good at what they do, they hire people around them to protect them, to cover up for their weaknesses, got people they trust. There's no doubt about it. My point is in an interview process, in getting to the point where you hire the right guys, I've not been around very many that are interested in somebody telling them what they're going to do with their business. And because the head coach of a football team is, that's the guy that would be a very, very difficult hire from a standpoint of hiring people that you trust and people that you, that can help you get to the next level because you don't have that strength or that's a weakness in your world. This is a little bit of a different monster. And the guys that I've been around, like Jerry Jones, you mentioned earlier, like Jerry Jones, the reason that Jerry Jones and the Bill Parcells marriage was such a media fiasco from the jump is because Jerry Jones people didn't think that Jerry Jones liked to hire people that were going to tell him what the hell to do.
Yeah.
As good as Bill Parcells was, that was true about Jerry. Jerry took a step back and took the back seat and let Parcells do his thing for a couple of years, right? Not saying it can't be done. I just think that generally speaking, it's not a stretch that these business owners that have had a ton of success, they're not always going to feel good and feel comfortable about a guy that is telling them what to do and never ask for their opinion and doesn't want to hold their hand and doesn't want them involved in the locker room and things of that nature. And as I look at the Houston Texans organization, I think the owner here fits that bill, yeah, along with Jack Easterby.
From the text line, show you're an ass, hanging up on that woman was effed up. Come on, man.
You have to. He can't. This is. I'll defend my man show on this one. You can't curse. You can't curse.
She said a bad word.
I mean, look, I wish.
And we let her get her call out, right?
It was a great call.
No, that was money. That was money, no doubt about it. But there, look, you can't curse. I think more. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think more highly of Lou right now because she dropped an S bomb on the show.
I do. I wanna go.
I'm not encouraging it. I just think more.
I want to go have several drinks with Lou.
Yeah, I'm in.
If we don't hang up on her, my job is in jeopardy.
Yeah,
like that's part of it.
Can't lose T Dog.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I should have said.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
Who? What'd he do?
He said maybe I should have. I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have done it.
Where did Clint go though? Where did Clint just go 3 seconds ago?
I don't know.
He just took off. Clint's ready for the search. I think that's
no.
What it
I
is.
Just checked the clock to make sure we weren't talking through the break. I mean, I was just trying to stay
I got,
on.
I got you.
I was trying to stay on the clock, man.
Right
that's responsible.
Just I'm looking right at it behind you, baby. Okay, coming up, the search. Wade Smith, Landry Locker. I'm sure they'll continue to discuss this. To discuss tomorrow their second interview with Leslie Frazier, who seems like he may be the leading candidate by many, but. Danon Hughes today in Kansas City said, nope, he's talked to some people, Clint. Talked to some folks, and he thinks Eric Bieniemy may be the guy. The search coming up 6 to 7 each and every night until the Texans hire new coach T. Sleazy. Great job on a Monday. Clint, as always, great job. I am Ron, the show Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby. And I know it's
going to be. Me a Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.